ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाई ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाई मी लेट देर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी। मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी who I am engaged in the pursuit of the self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are discussing the Samvarga Vidya, a beautiful upasana. Samvarga Vidya is the Vidya that was taught by a great sage called Raikwa to a great disciple who was a king, called Janashruti, who was the great grandson of another king called Janashruti. Janashrutehe Pautrayanaha Janashrutihi. So far, we have completed 3 mantras of the first chapter, but let us recollect what we have discussed so far. This is the essence of what we discussed and also what we are going to discuss. This word, Samvarga, Vidya means upasana, samvarga is a combination of 2 words, sam and varga. Sam means, in English we say same, varga means category. So, everything in this world belongs to the same category. And what is that same category? That is called Brahma or Brahman. Brahman is the word used in English. We should not put that N at the end of Brahma, but many people in English language get confused or may get confused because Brahma, the creator or Saguna Brahma and the supreme reality called Brahma has to be distinguished. Brahman means always supreme reality called Nirguna Brahman. Of course, in Sanskrit, we don't add that word N. Simply Brahma. So, Samvarga. Varga means class, category. So, there is everything in this world is Brahman. We have seen earlier that Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma Tat Jalaniti Upasita. Everything in this world is Brahman because Brahman with names and forms is manifesting as this entire world. So, this is a contemplation where we have to take individually our body as well as what is called the external world, both as manifestations of Brahman. And as a result of this contemplation, what do we become or what do we gain? We become identified with Brahman, which means the knowledge I am divine, I am Brahman, that comes. So that is the essence of every Vidya practically, but some Vidyas step by step take us, but this Samvarga Vidya mostly it is a contemplation of Hiranyagarbha, because the cosmic god called Vayu, and Vayu only manifests as a prana in every individual. In Sanskrit language, Vyashti means individual, Samashti means universal or cosmic. So what we call Vayu Devata, as we have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, that first Brahman or Atman manifested himself or itself as Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala, Adhya, and Apaha, and Prithvi. So the same idea is brought here, only instead of Akasha, it is said Vayu. Vayu means air, air. The English word air, we are breathing air. But according to the Vedantic language, air means Vayu Devata, without whom we can, nobody, no living creature can ever survive. Not only living creature, living, non-living, both cannot survive without air. And so he is called Vayu Devata. In a peace chant of the Taittiriya also, Shanno Mitra Shem Varunaha, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi. Vayu, you are the direct manifestation of Brahman. So, Brahman means is manifesting in the form of Vayu. Another name for Vayu is Hiranyagarbha. So, this Hiranyagarbha manifests as threefold deities. So, what is called cosmic, all the vital forces, prana, when we combine, it is called Sutratma. All the minds, thinking powers, combined is called Hiranyagarbha. All the buddhis, Vijnanamaya koshas, combined together is called Mahatattva. So, one Hiranyagarbha, when he is manifesting as a prana, he is called Sutratma. When he is manifesting as the mind, called Hiranyagarbha. And when he is manifesting as Vijnana, super intelligence, Samashti means universal intelligence, he goes by the name Mahatattva. So, Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, Mahatattva, the combined name for these three aspects is called Hiranyagarbha. So, usually, that is how Vedanta wants to simplify Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Virat. On the cosmic level, Pragna, Taijasa, and Vishwa on the individual level. Here the point is, this air means oxygen for us. So, what is oxygen? Whatever keeps us alive is called oxygen. So, if a plant is breathing carbon dioxide, it is death for us, poison for us, but it is oxygen for the plants. So, the definition of Vayu is whatever makes anything alive is called Vayu Devata. Devata means universal aspect of all individualities combined together is called Devata. So, five elements, Pancha Devatas, five Devatas. That is how we have to understand. So, this Samvarga Vidya or this particular contemplation wants us that individually also there is something within each one of us that is called prana, called mukhya prana, and that divides or subdivides itself into five categories to manifest as five different functions: prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. Similarly, the cosmic vayu, Vayu Devata, manifests itself as the fire, as the sun, as the moon, as the waters. And we, in brackets, we have to add the earth. That is because from Vayu manifested, grossified as Agni, Agni grossified as waters, waters grossified as earth. Earth means food. So, we, everything that comes from a particular cause, it has to go by law into that particular cause. Every effect must merge back. Only one small doubt might come here. Why the Upanishad is talking or stopping only with Vayu? Why could not it proceed further and then say Akasha? Well, some rishis taught this one. So if that rishi was alive, we could have taken our questions to him. But since he is not, we have to understand it is gradually to lead one from the lowest step to the next higher step until we reach Brahman. So this Samvarga Vidya can help us. How does it help us? It wants to unite the individual with the universal. And that is what is called the greatest spiritual progress. Samam Pashyan Hi Sarvatra Samavasthitam Ishwaram. Bhagavad Gita says, I am present in everything as the Atma. And a yogi who has progressed in spiritual life, he will be seeing the same Brahman everywhere. It is a beautiful hymn which says, when I see a person laughing, that is Vishnu laughing. When I see a person weeping, again that is Vishnu. When I see a person happy, that is Vishnu, happy Vishnu. When I see another person unhappy, he is an unhappy Vishnu. So wherever I see, sarvatra Vishnu darshanam, this is the divine vision, spiritual progress. Now let us come to the essence. So the adhyatmika, adhidaivika are mentioned in this particular upasana or contemplation, but we must also include adhibhautika. So what is it? At a universal level, Samvarga Vidya introduces Vayu, the Vayu Devata, cosmic wind or force, as a metaphysical entity responsible for absorbing all phenomena. And it gives certain examples also, we will come to that. Vayu orchestrates the cycles of creation, sustenance and dissolution, constantly regenerating the fabric of existence. How does it do? Without prana, there is no creation. We will not be alive. And it is prana which sustains us. Every food that we consume, what does it become? Energy. And energy helps us maintain this body. And another name for that energy is called prana. And the cosmic aspect of prana is called Vayu. Without Vayu, it is impossible. So, when the Prana Devata again absorbs all of us, that is what we call death. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, like a wheel of a cart goes round and round and round until we attain liberation. So, we have to first identify with the prana. What is prana? That which makes us alive, that which sustains us. And when this body becomes incapable of continuing, then that prana, which is working from within the body, it becomes absorbed in the universal prana or Vayu Devata. Just as Vayu absorbs universal phenomena, prana within an individual absorbs all sensory and mental activities, and especially during deep sleep. This is a profound statement. What happens when we are in deep sleep, or where anyone is in deep sleep? What happens? We are not aware of the bodily functions, though it is going on. We are not aware of the mental functions, that also is not functioning. But a body is alive, the mind is also alive, though not manifesting as functioning. But what keeps the body and mind alive? It is the prana. To say, put it in other words, the body and the mind as if becomes one with prana during deep sleep state, and when the deep sleep comes to an end, again they become manifest. This is a phenomena throughout the day, throughout the night, until from birth to death, we are experiencing it. So, we have to meditate upon this knowledge. The practice of Samvarga Vidya involves meditating on this unity of prana and vayu. What is individual prana is called cosmically as vayu. What is called cosmically vayu is manifesting within each one of our individuality as prana. So when we practice this particular vidya, we are trying to unify prana, that is the individual prana, with the cosmic prana. That means I am becoming identified with everything that exists in this universe. You may ask, a question might pop up. Okay, there are in this external world creation, there are living and non-living. So, we can understand that the individual prana becomes one with the cosmic prana. But what about the non-living? The answer, we have to understand in two phases. First phase is, when you say non-living, whose words are you using? Is it the modern intellectually thinking scientist's view or Vedantic view? Second, it is the, according to Vedanta, whatever, wherever there is existence, whatever is existent, that is called Sat. Existence is called Sat. Wherever we find existence, Chit and Ananda can never be separated from Sat. Then what happens? Just like a person who is in a coma, he doesn't manifest intelligence or awareness. So also, until the what is called inert, non-living, manifest or becomes organic. In scientific language, non-living is called inorganic. And somehow, by a mysterious process, this inorganic, in course of evolution, becomes organic. Where from? That life has come. Organic means an entity with life. Earlier, what was it? Inorganic. An entity without life. So, if an entity has no life, scientifically it is untenable that it can manifest as a living being, entity, living entity. Something may be hidden, awaiting its turn, like a seed, awaiting to sprout and become a great banyan tree, is a beautiful example. So the inorganic continues. In fact, organic or organism is potentially there, but right combination of time and circumstances and external atmosphere, everything must be correct, and then only the organic potentiality becomes manifest. That is how Vedanta looks at it. But according to scientific discipline, that even living creatures, excepting human beings, everything else is not to be considered as a valuable living creature, but as an object or objects of enjoyment. That is why it is there even in the Bible. God created this world and then he created man and he said, I have created this world for your enjoyment. And people, not understanding its Vedantic implication, go on thinking that anybody is a matter of sport for my enjoyment. Anybody can be a victim. How many, even today, living creatures, feeling creatures, emotional creatures, creatures with language, creatures with understanding, how we are killing? Do we eat dogs? There are people. Do we eat monkeys? There are people who eat. Do we eat cockroaches? There are people who eat. So, do we eat grasshoppers? Yes, there are people who eat. So, locusts, they're called. So, at some point of the world or the other, everything is made as a delicacy for the enjoyment. And such people, of course, they will also evolve, but they will understand that there is nothing without life. Everything is full of life. And everything is the manifestation of this Vayu Devata, which in turn
the manifestation of Akasha Devata, which in its turn is nothing but manifestation of Atman or Brahma. So through this Samvarga Vidya, we have to identify ourselves with everything that we call the other. That is the secret. By visualizing external objects as being within oneself and expanding one's awareness to encompass the whole universe, the spiritual seeker progresses towards realizing the cosmic self and oneness with the absolute. And when he progresses, and when he knows, I am everything, then he can say, Aham Brahmasmi. Brahma means everything. And then, what is the problem? We are ignorant that there is no inside, outside, individual and universal. Everything is one from a higher viewpoint. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. If you climb, there was one, what is called in Calcutta, a huge building. When you go to the top of the building, it is so high that when you look down, you can't distinguish between one person and the other person. And if you climb a hillock, then you see at a distance, far below, everything looks the same. All the trees, all the grass, everything looks. And if you go still further, then you cannot distinguish the living and so-called non-living. So what the Chandogya Upanishad wants to say is a teaching through the sage Raikwa, instructing King Janashruti, after finding that he was ready and fit, that it is ignorance to think, I am different, everything is different. This Bheda Darshana, seeing differences everywhere, that is called ignorance. And these differences are categorized into three types. Just to remind you, if there are two species, they are different. If there are two trees of the same species, as an example, both will be different. Lot of differences will be found out. And even if there is only one tree, there is a lot of difference. These are branches, this is roots, these are the leaves, these are the flowers, this is the trunk, etc. And spiritual life means to overcome all these differences and see it as an integral whole. And that is what the Samvarga Vidya wants to teach. So the ultimate goal of Samvarga Vidya is the knowledge of Brahma, the supreme reality. How does it come? As soon as a person understands, I am the Vayu Devata, the next step is that I am also Akasha Devata. And the next step is, I am the Atman. So, this Samvarga Vidya teaches that this knowledge is a gift of grace, a revelation of the self and the highest happiness of the soul. Whoever knows this Samvarga Vidya, succeeds in this contemplation, he will attain the highest happiness. What is the highest happiness? The happiness of everything, because he becomes everything. So, through this understanding, anyone like Raikwa can transcend the limited sense of self, merge with the infinite, then Samvarga Vidya reveals this secret of interconnectedness, emphasizing the importance of recognizing the unity that underlies all existence, both cosmic and individual. I remember just now an incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. There are many incidents. One day, Sri Ramakrishna had seen this soon after. He was living in Nirvikalpa Samadhi after his Guru Totapuri left for 6 months continuously. During that time, he heard a commandment that you live in Bhava Mukha, in between Nitya and Leela. Slowly his mind came down. So many incidents you have to recollect. So the Madhur Babu's wife, she incurred some disease. That disease, at the request of Madhur Babu, was cured, Jagadamba Dasi. But that disease had entered into Sri Ramakrishna. He felt intense pain in the stomach, and that pain brought Sri Ramakrishna's mind somewhat to a little lower plane. And during that period, he had certain incident Swami Sharadananda cites in the Leela Prasanga. One day, he saw a grasshopper. Some child had taken a small stick and inserted that stick in the anus of that grasshopper. Sri Ramakrishna noticed it. How much pain it must be suffering. Like if something like that happens to us, even a small nail scratches us, or a small nail or a thorn enters into our any part of our body, how much we feel. Or even injection. Some injections are used to be very painful. So, he felt very painful. Then afterwards, suddenly, he entered into that state of Leela. And then he exclaimed, "O Rama, you became the stick, you became the grasshopper, and you became this urchin, small boy, who inserted that stick. O Rama, you yourself inserted yourself into the anus of yourself. Everything is Ramamayam. Sarvam Rere Brahmamayam." That was Sri Ramakrishna's vision. There are so many other incidents are there. But he wanted to train Narendranath. So he wanted to give that knowledge. There is no I and you. Sri Ramakrishna occasionally used to smoke from a hubble bubble. So one day he smoked. And then Narendra was near. So with his own hands, he put that pipe into the mouth of Narendra. Narendra shrank into himself because he knew how pure Sri Ramakrishna's body was. But he did not want to touch the thing which touched the mouth of Sri Ramakrishna. Then Sri Ramakrishna laughed and said, "So much of ignorance that you are somebody, I am somebody. No, we are equal." That is how he started training. The point here is that when we identify ourselves with everybody, then there would be only joy. No dukkha will be there. Because yayenam veti hantaram ischainam manyate hatam ubhautau na vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate. So what is spiritual progress? The more we detach ourselves from our individuality, which is termed as body and mind, and try to identify with everybody, with their happiness, with their grief, with all their experiences, our love in the form of sympathy, or our sympathy in the form of love, identity grows. And when it becomes universal, then we know there is nobody separate from us. That is the essence of this Samvarga Vidya. We have already dealt with the story, and story itself is so interesting. But remember, it is a peg. Every story is a peg to hang on the greatest teachings of Vedanta. So we are now in the third mantra. Tamuha paraha pratyuvacha kamvore enam etat santam sa yugvanameva raikvam athaiti yonukatham sa yugva raikvaiti. If you recollect, two birds were speaking one with the other. At night they were flying, and one bird was addressing the other bird because this king Janashruti was on the roof. "See that you don't touch the flame, as it were, of the fame of the divine light that was emanating from this great king." He was a great king. He became greatly spiritual. He loved his people. He was serving them as it were. They were as if they were his own children. And so that time had come, his mind had become pure. So it is a time for him now to progress further. For that, either some deities or some rishis or the grace of God came in the form of these two birds. So as we know, one bird addressed, "Say that you do not touch the flame of the divine light that is spreading until the Swargaloka." But that bird which was addressed like that, it also heard the other bird saying that, "What is the problem? Why are you talking like that? And do you think that this king is such a great soul? No, no, no. His greatness is absolutely nothing compared to that there is on man, and he had a bodily disease called itching, and most of the time he is found under a cart. His name was Raikwa. He lives in a remote village. Nobody has ever understood him, but he became one with Vayudevata or Hiranyagarbha. As a result, he lives in the greatest joy and he enjoys himself, but nobody could recognize him. Anyway, so who is this Raikwa of whom you are speaking? So don't speak of this king as if he was equivalent to this great sage who became identified with Hiranyagarbha through this Samvarga Vidya. Then, until now, we have discussed in our last class. Then, that bird who is talking about, who is this Raikwa, started describing what is Raikwa. For that purpose, the Upanishad gives a beautiful example. There was a dice game. Imagine there are four cards, you know, like card game. Imagine on each card, four numbers are written. 1, 2, 3, 4. And when they throw the cards, the person who receives that card which has four numbers, as if he absorbs all the other three persons. Imagine four people sitting there with these four cards and they also bet. So, okay, I'll put 100 rupees here. And another says another 100 rupees. So, like that, this person who obtains the card which has the number 4, that is the highest card available, like our card game, I don't know about it. There will be what is called drawings of king and queen and number 4, number 3, I don't know. Like that, some combinations is unbeatable. So, that person who is lucky to get such cards, he will win whatever money is kept as bet. Like that, these persons is, what does this indicate? Chandogya Upanishad is a very old Upanishad. That means, even in those days, people were playing in their own way. It is called dice game. And your Yudhishthira was quite expert in it and quite addicted to it. Now, what is the point here? That why do people play this game? Because they want to pass their time. Why do they want to pass time playing? Because they don't know better ways. They don't know how to contemplate. They don't know how to worship God. They don't know how to study scriptures. At least they can listen. So, everywhere there will be three people are there. So, coming back, imagine there are four cards. One with numbers written them on them. 1, 2, 3, 4. And now further you have to imagine that they have got names like Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. Now, take the word Dwapara. Dwapara means two. That means where Dharma stands only on two legs, like a cow compared to an entire Dharma, and it stands on four legs. In the Krita Yuga, it stands on four legs. Treta Yuga, it stands on three. Tre means three. And Dva means two. Kali means, we have to imagine, stands only on one. Really, in Kali Yuga, Dharma is there? Yes, Dharma cannot be removed. Just as Sukha goes with Dukkha, and good goes with evil, but their proportion may differ. So, 99% evil, 1% good, or 99% good, 1% evil. Nobody can, excepting a knower of Brahman, can transcend them. Anyway, this is the game. So, just like the person, the bird is explaining. Maybe the bird also knows about this game. Maybe the bird also is addicted to this game. I am just making fun. So, it could so beautifully describe. So, it must be some wise person in the form of a bird who wants to awaken the spiritual consciousness of this Janashruti, so that he can progress further in life. Just as a person who wins that four numbers, Krita, it is called Krita, and just like a person in Krita Yoga, where Dharma is highest, four legs, Dharma stands on four legs. Don't take it 100%. Wherever there is Dharma, there will be some Adharma also. So, even now there will be Dharma, but Adharma proportion is more. So, in Kali Yuga, it is like that. In Dwapara Yuga, is 50% Dharma, 50% Adharma. Treta Yuga, 75% Dharma and 25% Adharma. In Krita Yuga, it is said 100% Dharma, but it cannot be, because in Krita Yuga also there are people who are Rakshasas. Anyway, but the number is very less. Most people will be very spiritual, very dharmic, devoted to God, devoted to self-culture, etc. So, the bird is describing graphically, just as a person who wins that card which has got number 4 on it, he gets the property of all the lower cards, or the persons who are holding the lower cards. Like that, a person who knows this Samarga Vidya, he, in his happiness, everything is included. Everybody's happiness is included. So, if somebody becomes Hiranyagarbha, everybody's happiness, because happiness is a matter of manovritti, thought, pratyaya. So, one who says, I am Hiranyagarbha, I am Saguna Brahma, he enjoys the happiness of the entire creation. Like that, this person who wins, he will be like that. What is the bird trying to tell? This Raikwa was a person who identified himself as Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, his joy is unrivaled. His happiness is unlimited, because every happiness that is available in this world is his happiness. And so, what is the bird saying here? Yatha kritaya vijitaya athareyaha sanyantyevam eva sarvam tat avisamaiti yatkincha prajaha sadhu kurvanti yah tadveda yat saveda sa maya etaduktaha iti. Just as all the lower castes of the dice go over to the one who has won the Krita caste, or the card with number 4, so does go over to Raikwa. Whatever good the creatures do, and we have to add in bracket, whatever happiness they have, whatever punyam they have, whatever good fortune they have, so it all goes to Raikwa. That means Raikwa's happiness can never be compared to the happiness of the king. It is far, far, far superior. Like the in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Ananda Mimamsa, the happiness of Brahmaloka, Satyaloka cannot be compared to anybody's Ananda. So, ete shatagum samaha. So, what Raikwa knows. But anybody can learn this Vidya. Anybody can practice. Anybody can become identified with Hiranyagarbha, because it is a Vidya. It is a knowledge. It can be passed on to people. So, the face of the dice bearing this number 4 is called Krita. This is the example that one has to give. And that much information is sufficient. What is important in the fourth mantra, that Raikwa, even though he doesn't have any possessions, with torn clothes, he was sitting under a cart. Even that cart perhaps doesn't belong. Maybe it was a broken cart, and he is sitting under it as a temporary residence, because he doesn't have any residence, rain or shine, he will be living under it. So, but his happiness, because he knows, I am not Raikwa, I am Hiranyagarbha. S. A. Ramakrishna, sometimes when devotees of Kali approach him, he becomes Kali. Especially what happened at Shampukur on Kali Puja night, Ramakrishna instructed people, let us do some Kali Puja. In a simple way, devotees have gathered everything. they were waiting. Sri Ramakrishna meditated a little bit, and then everybody was sitting silent. Then Girish Ghosh was inspired by a thought, what are we waiting for? Here is Mother Kali. And he uttered in his loud voice, Jai Kali, and took some flowers from a big plate and offered it at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna with that firm idea that Sri Ramakrishna is none other than Mother Kali. She is in front of us, manifesting in the body of Sri Ramakrishna. In the twinkling of an eye, Sri Ramakrishna's both hands went up like Vara and Abhaya. Of course, there were no four hands. We have to imagine. Everybody felt his face brought the highest thought of Mother Kali into everybody's mind automatically without their any effort. And they saw Pratyaksha Kali in him. And so, like mad people, they started pouring all the flowers, etc. This is what we have to understand. Outwardly, Raikwa appeared to be a small person, and he has somehow his body acquired some what is called itchy disease, Qing disease. It is very common in tropical islands, and so his hands will be scratching them. Where is his mind? It is completely identified with Hiranya Garbha. That is the idea. And the Upanishad, every Upanishad doesn't stop there. He is like that. The other person is like, no. Whoever practices the same Vidya, he will also attain to the same goal. So, now in the fifth mantra, Taduha Janashrutihi Pautrayana Upashushrava Saha Samjihana Eva Krataramuvacha Anga Are Hamsa Yugvanameva Raikam Atheti Yonu Katham Sayugva Raikva Iti Yatha Kritaya Vijitaya Athareyaha Sanyantyeva Menaha Sarva Sarvam Tat Abhisamaiti Yatkincha Prajasadu Kurvante Yastadveda Yatsaveda Samaya Yatadukta Haiti. So Janashruti, the great grandson of a king called Janashruti. Janashruti's great grandson is called Janashruti. He overheard those words from the birds. And whole night he was pondering. He understood, I must become a student of this Raikwa. I must attain to that. All my kingly pleasures and privileges are nothing compared to that Hiranyagarbha Vidya. So, whole night he was thinking. As soon as he rose, he said to the attendant, look, so the story doesn't go, but you know, kings and emperors, they were woken up like gods in Tirupati, etc. So by praising, so Kausalya, Supraja, Rama, Purva, Sandhya, Pravartate, Uttishta, Narashardula, Kattavyam, Daivamanikam, etc. This is called Suprabhata. Good morning, sir. So as soon as the king was about to rise, these people who used to be paid, they came and started praising. And then the king is briefly telling. The Upanishad is very briefly telling, but we have to expand and enjoy it. He is addressing the people who were doing this praising and said, lo, are you praising me as if I am the Raikwa with the cart? You are praising me as if I am the greatest person. But I know there is somebody much greater than me. So, the attendant or the people who are praising him, sir, we never heard about it. So, can you tell me what you mean by this Raikwa? What sort of man is this Raikwa with the cart? Then the king repeated the words of the swan, just as all the lower castes of the dice go over to one who has won the Krita caste, so does go one to Raikwa, whatsoever good any creature does, and so also to him who knows what Raikwa knows, such as he who has thus been spoken of by me. So the king addresses his attendant as Kshatta, and the explanation given is Kshatta is the name of a person who is born of the union between a Kshatriya and a Shudra parents. That means a Kshatriya male and a Shudra female If the union brings a person, he is called a kshatta. Not kshatriya, but kshatta. So, the duty of such people is driving the chariot, guarding the doors, attending on the king's master, etc. So, Janashruti, the king, inquired of him. That is, you know, it is not proper for you because all this time I did not understand. I allowed you to praise and wake me up. But now I understand that that is not right. There is somebody who is highly spiritual. I am not that spiritual. I want to learn from him. You go and find out about this Raikwa. And you have to understand Raikwa, who always lives under a cart. That is the meaning of this fifth mantra. Then to what is called forestall, what is happening, that this attendant or kshatta, whatever it is, he went, or maybe he took some people, because it must be quite a big kingdom. He went and started inquiring people in the cities, etc. Then he came back and he did, nobody knew about it. That means nobody really understood him, recognized him as what he is. Like once a person came to Dakshineswar and he thought he saw a gardener and told, hey, I want that flower, pluck it and give it to me. And then he did not know it was a Ramakrishna. So Ramakrishna plucked it, gave it to him. That person thought he must be gardener. He looked like that. And when that person came to meet Sri Ramakrishna, he was ashamed. Then he apologized. But Sri Ramakrishna never minded. He must have been enjoying this kind of teasing other people by covering himself. Anyway, so this attendant or attendants went, came back with empty-handed, as it were. That means they did not find this Raikwa. Then they reported, sir, we inquired. Extensive inquiries we made, but we did not hear about anybody that is known as Raikwa. Then by that time, the king also must have thought, and he was very intelligent. Then he immediately said, do you search for a great sage? Do you search for a Brahmana, is the word used here. You have to search where true Brahmanas live or how they live. If you go to rich people, they will never know about it. So then the attendant went and he started searching in solitary places. And very soon he came to know that somebody informed him, yes, as one person scratching himself, he sits whole day there. We don't know what is he going to do. You go and find, maybe he is the person you are inquiring about. So this person went, found the person under the tree. And then it, sir, are you Raikwa? He immediately confirmed and said, yes, yes, my name is Raikwa. I live under the tree. Immediately the attendant came and reported to the king that, yes, we found him and we confirmed because we asked him and this is the one. So this is just to forestall what we are going to discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohurmohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.